You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hey, everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here because you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts. And remember, everybody's got a price. The Million Dollar Man.
This is Don West here, and I'm telling you, Knockouts and Three Counts is the podcast, baby. Make sure that's the one you check out, because, buddy, like me, they're the real deal, baby.
This is Jake the Snake Roberts. Just let me know. You need to listen to Knockouts and Three Counts, or you'll see that damn snake again.
This is the Ring of Honor World Television Champion, a.k.a. Shane T, boy, the baddest champion you ever seen, boy. And you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts.
What up, though, everybody? This is Kyle, and you are listening to Knockouts and Three Counts. As you can see, you got both Kyles in studio, and Devin's on the line with us. Our guest will be calling in real shortly here. We're going to be talking all about Bare Knuckle FC 8 that's going to be happening on Fight TV Live on pay-per-view this Saturday. Before we get there... And she's on the line with us in a second. Give me 1 second. Before we get there, if you're looking to buy a house, I got to shout out our sponsors real quick. We got Stransky & Company. Stransky & Company is the top-producing real estate team that specializes in individual strategy, over-the-top service, and continued success for their clients. They are the real estate easy button if you're looking to buy, sell, invest, or buy. Call them at 248-563-9449 or email them at admin@stranskycompany.com. Follow them on all their social medias at Stransky & Company. All their links, all that stuff can be found on our website as well at ko3cpod.com. Obviously, like I said, we've got a big guest with us tonight, and she's on the line with us. We've got Sheena Starr before she gets ready to go fight at Bare Knuckle FC this weekend. How you doing?
I'm just living the dream. It's fight week. You know.
Well, welcome back to the show, first of all. It's been quite a minute since you've been on, but she's also past guest of the show as well.
Right. I'm sorry. I got fucking heat blowing up my phone with some dumb shit. What was that again?
No. No, we were just saying you're a long past guest of the show and just reminding everybody that we've had you and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it. Yeah.
No problem at all.
My notification. So, like, we're talking. I was like, ding, ding, ding. I'm like, fuck.
She was there.
I've been looking forward to this interview for a long, long time. Hands down, that the first time you came on the show was one of my favorite interviews that we've ever done.
So you're looking forward to it? I'm like, really? You're looking forward to it? All right. Right on, man. Yeah, I remember the last time. That was great. That was, like, one of the best radio interviews ever. Came in, just hanging out, talking about some shit. We had a couple cats in there, and there was beer. I mean, it was great.
There's always beer.
Yeah, Devin's podcast juice is always on deck.
Definitely.
Always. I'm gonna have one of those Saturday after I beat the brakes off this Florida chick.
So let's talk about that first of all. This is gonna be your second appearance for Bare Knuckle FC. Tell us a little bit about what made you want to go over to Bare Knuckle, because I know you fought MMA, we know you fought for Ryzen and all those things. You know, give me a little bit of an idea what made you want to make the switch over to Bare Knuckle. If it was just money or just the fight style, and what was your thoughts on your first appearance over there?
Well, it first started off, I was, cornering Tony Lopez. You know, I've been in Tony Lopez's corner, you know, quite a bit. Anytime he's usually on this side of the Mississippi, he's got his go-to people. I mean, he's got go-to people wherever he goes in the world. The dude fights like every fucking month he can. You know, so I was at a lot of these events, you know, watching, and I loved it, man. I thought it was cool as fuck, you know what I mean? I'm like, man, this is some pretty cool shit, you know. And it's you know what, mostly everybody they have on there is, you know, they got like UFC legends and like Chris Lytle and Levin, and we got, you know, Anderson Silva and you know, I mean, you know, Antonio Silva, not Anderson, you know, Bigfoot Silva this weekend. I'm just like, oh man, that'd be cool. I'd like to do that one day. And, I had an MMA fight in, Oklahoma and, you know, of course, wrestle fucking, which I can't stand because I'm a shitty grappler. I don't care how much I show up to jiu-jitsu. I just can't fucking do it. All right. It's whatever. You know, I mean, I'm just not that good at it, and that's okay. You know, I mean, I kept trying and everything, and, it was whatever. And then, after that event, I seen they were looking to match somebody up real quick. They had a drop on a card in Biloxi, and it was like a week and a half away. And I'm like, fucking, I'll do it. You know? And they're like, really? You'd do this? I'm like, fucking, all right, I would. I love that shit. Let's roll it. So, I signed up, you know, for that. And I really felt good about it. Cause I've always, you know, striking's always been, you know, my strong point, you know, in fighting. I've only been dropped and finished on the feet one time. And that was from Allie Beth, you know, years, a while ago at Big John's MMA. You know, I got a million fights. I'm like, I was comfortable with the striking. I'd already understood that it wasn't boxing. That this was a fight, you know? So, I had that going in, feeling all right about it. And my opponent didn't show up to weigh-ins. And I heard she was overweight. And she came in, like, in the middle of the night. They called the commissioner in the hotel, like, late at night to weigh her in. And then she missed weight. And I didn't even see her until basically the fighter's meeting. And that's wild. You know, I mean, I kind of got nervous a little bit then because she was big. You know what I mean? She looked like she could peel coconuts with her fucking teeth, man. I mean, she was a mean look.
You weren't fighting Gabby Garcia, were you?
No. I was fighting her cousin. I fuck swear to God, man.
No way.
You know, I'm like, holy. No, it's not her cousin, but, you know, like, I already knew this girl. I had, like, 12 pro boxing matches. She, you know, I mean, she fought good people in MMA, too. Like, you know, she fought, like, Kat Lanzago and, you know, I mean, tough people. And I'm like, holy crap, man. And it was just whatever. I pulled in a last, one of my favorite coaches out of North Carolina. They came in last minute. I was there all by myself the whole weekend, you know, just kind of hanging out. And I'll go to walk out to the ring wearing my cool shirt. And, then I see her from across the ring, and she's got a big old pentagram with a satanic goat tattooed across her whole fucking abdomen. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. You know, questioning my life decisions at that point. And I got a little bit of, you know, performance anxiety. You know, I didn't really know what to expect. It was, you know, kind of like walking into your first fight. You know, I'm like, I'll just go out there and, you know, try my best. That first round was weird. It was like my ears were ringing a little bit. Anxiety was getting to me a lot. There's a lot of people there, and you know, I got boom cameras down, and you know, of course, you got internet trolls and shit the night before, and I'm like, fuck, man, you know, don't look stupid. And I really thankful for the coach I had in my corner, man, you know, because oof. You really respect strikes a lot more compared to glove sports when it's bare knuckle, because it don't matter, they all hurt. It doesn't matter if they miss or wherever they land, that shit hurts. And it hurts when you throw them too. You know, you got to really pick your shots really well. And I got the finish, you know, in the second round, and that felt great. That was fun. And then I became a meme.
I was about to say, so let's talk about that. How in the fuck did that walkout shirt become a thing? And I'm shocked that they let you wear it out to the ring.
Half of them didn't know, man. We got a little FCC trouble. You know, like, I'll tell you what, I made a lot of fans in the fucking south of Mississippi because they're all pretty conservative.
Kyle, do you know the shirt that we're referencing?
Oh, yeah. I was taking selfies with people's babies and shit after that fight, man, you know. I swear, I mean, so many, it was cool, but like I said, I took the first fight on, like, you know, a week and a half notice. I didn't have time to collect sponsors and get a fight outfit and all this, so I just grabbed, you know, my Muay Thai flap shorts and called my favorite t-shirt person here in Michigan, and I, flat last minute deal, you know, I'm like, hey, can you get this sleeveless arrest card and put Hillary Clinton's account in big fucking letters on the front of it for me? He's like, I don't even want to ask or need to ask with you, but yeah. Then I basically picked it up from his house in Bay City on my way to the fucking airport, you know, and, I just wore it for a veteran friend of mine. You know, a veteran friend of mine is a Navy SEAL. He were, actually worked her detail. And, you know, a lot of military law enforcement friends of mine, you know, they just, you know, despise. They're like, you know what? Hey, I'm gonna do this for y'all. I'm gonna do this for y'all. You know, I had no idea it was going to be as big as it did or anything like that. I just was, being me, you know, my own little personality. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do this. You know, I didn't know they were going to give me a second fight or, you know, want to, you know, give me my official signing like they did. But, I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do me. I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to stand out and, you know, I'm going to do it without, you know, flaunting tits and ass and shit all over the fucking internet. I'm just going to be my goofy ass type of, humorous self. And, you know, I wore my, I have no tits shirt for fucking weigh-ins. That was people like that. That was funny. And then, Hillary Clinton is a cunt. I just walked out with that and holy, like heads were turned. Oh. And, I was on the undercard. So it was on a Facebook Live deal with Bare Knuckle, and like people are trying to report it and the feed almost got shut down. I almost shut down the entire feed for fucking BKFC number 5 because of my stupid t-shirt, but, it didn't happen. So they were good. They were good with it.
Does anybody come up to you and say, hey, are you the Hillary Clinton is a cunt girl?
They recognize me the last Biloxi event because, I worked Cutman opposite of Stitch. So a couple of the fans are, and I've just, I think I was like walking to the bathroom or something. And, this group of firefighters, there's a big group of firefighters that were there for Harris Sandman, which was, another local fighter there. I just walked by and they're like, Hillary Clinton is a cunt. I'm like, what's up guys? How you doing? Why are you fighting? I'm like, I'm not, I'm putting faces back together tonight. I'm not making cuts, you know?
So tell us a little bit about how, you know, obviously, this is going to be your second fight for Bare Knuckle FC. Now you kind of have a little bit more of an idea of what to expect. You mentioned something that I've been talking about. Like, I was actually just talking about this with a couple of my coworkers because we were talking about the show tonight. And, you know, tell those who either haven't fought before or don't realize the significance of it, like, how much does fighting in Bare Knuckle change your game plan versus when you're fighting in MMA or kickboxing or boxing or whatever the case might be? Sheena? I don't know.
Did we lose Sheena?
It looks like.
From what I can see, she's still on the call.
Sheena, are you there? I don't know.
I don't know. I can try and remove her and
She might have Sprint.
She just dropped.
Yeah, she has Sprint.
We'll have Sheena back in 2 seconds. She just dropped. The call dropped. Sheena, you there?
Yes. Yes, of course another promoter would try to call me right now.
So
I'll have to call them back. So anyways, so yeah, we're conditioned and you know, we're really training for a sprint versus a marathon, you know, as far as endurance and cardio wise. And, second off, we got to pick our punches a lot better, man. You know, we can't just go head hunt like, you know, you can with, you know, a lot of glove sports. You know, you don't want to punch the forehead. You're going to break your hand. We have to keep our fists very tensely, really super tight clenched. With an MMA glove or like a boxing glove, we can, you know, have our hands a little bit more relaxed and be a little bit more playful with our strikes. Bare knuckle, you can't. It's got to be the most tightly clenched fist that you can possibly imagine, you know, because again, you're going to break your fucking hand if it's just like, even a little bit loose, you know, because we don't wear hand wraps. I mean, we got them around a little bit on the back of our hand and on our wrist, and, you know, that's it. That's, you know, that's all we have for that. The ring is a lot different too.
Is it six sided like or is it a straight circle?
It's a circle. It's a squared circle, which is really goes back to the beginning of fighting,
right,
and where the name ring actually came from. You know, you ever think about, well, they call it a boxing ring, but it's shaped like a square. Well, back in the, you know, the bare knuckle days or in the boxing days, you know, in the 1800s and shit, they would draw a circle and the fighters would have to go in that circle, almost similar to a pit. Well, then it got to the point where they'd have to rope it off. Well, it was easier to rope it off with a square than it was with a circle, but the name ring still stuck with, you know, the boxing platform. So that's why, you know, they still call it a ring, even though it's a square. So when Feldman came to Gary Grant Jr., which he is the builder and the creator of the squared circle, that was, you know, they were trying to take back something old with something new and, you know, still keep the historical significance and everything with, you know, the fighting platform. But yeah,
nice.
So it's a big ring, and those aren't ropes, though. They look like ropes.
They're cables.
They don't move. No, they're not cables at all. It's titanium tubing.
Damn.
With like something that looks like a pool noodle around it. And then, of course, you know, you just got the vinyl, you know,
right,
knuckle logo wrap around it. But if you get backed up to that, it's a brick wall.
Good.
It's a brick wall. It doesn't give at all. It's like you're hitting a fucking wall. It's not like, you know, a cage or ropes or anything where it's going to have a little bit of give, you know. No, you hit it, you fucking stop. But they move up and down, though, so it's really fucking weird. So, you know, so if you hit straight back, you're fucking stopping in a wall. But you can move down with it because there's about a couple inches of play out that's spring-loaded on each side of it. So it's definitely a very unique fighting platform, unlike anything I've ever been in. And, you know, I've been in a Japanese MMA freaking, you know, five rope ring. I've been in cages. I've been in, you know, a half cage, half ring, a boxing ring, Muay Thai. I mean, all that shit. And this one's a little weird, but it's, you get used to it. I mean, I've been in and out of it a bunch of times, either working, you know, corners, cutmen, and then, you know, of course my one fight. So that's,
Devin, you were talking about how excited you are for this interview. What questions do you got for Sheena?
Well, the funny thing is, like, I've asked this question to a lot of the women wrestlers and MMA fighters that we've had on the show, and I thought about this question after the first time you were on, and the question I have is this. So let's say, Sheena, you have a fight or you have a training session that gets really, really intense. Let's say you walk away with, like, a black eye or some bruises or something like that. And let's say you're out with a male friend. And, you know, you guys are out, you know, at a gas station getting gas, and the two of you walk in with a black eye. Have you ever had a situation where someone looked at you and, like, wondered, like, hey, is this guy hitting you? Do we need to call the police or something like that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've had people hand me domestic violence, fucking help call number cards, and, you know, pull me aside, are you all right, and da-da-da-da-da, and, you know, and it's a, you know, well, most of the time some people won't get involved either. They'll just fucking stare at you. You know what I mean? They'll just stare at
right.
you. Thank God for arnica cream, man. It chick makes it go away, you know? And, at first it was, you know, kind of really uncomfortable, and I'm just like, you know, and I hated it and this and that. But then again, you know, I thought about it. I'm like, man, you know, if I really was being abused or anything, you know, holy shit, you know, there's people out there that, you know, want to reach out and want to help and everything if they can. So I think that's a good thing too. So, you know, because of that aspect, it doesn't bother me. I can just, you know, explain, hey, no, I compete in combat sports, and, you know, I had a match, da 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 da, and I can show them pictures on my phone, and you know, they think that's cool, and then they go, hey, you should come and train some girls, and da da da. And I'm like, no, I don't do that, but, you know. Well, it's dangerous. It's dangerous unless you're like completely certified to, you know, teach women self defense. I mean, don't go out there trying to make fighters out of soccer moms and giving them a false sense of reality. It's just dangerous. I don't agree with it, so I don't do it. You know,
Kyle, you got any questions?
Yeah. So, because you've got an extensive background in MMA and you've been pretty much involved in almost all combat sports, how would you say the atmosphere is for bare knuckle boxing versus MMA or boxing or even pro wrestling or even like a martial arts tournaments, how would the atmosphere for those, how's the atmosphere for bare knuckle boxing vary versus the other type of combat sports?
It's really more relaxed. It's really more relaxed, you know. Not only are most of the contestants and everyone, I mean, these guys are veterans. These guys are, you know, battle tested warriors that have, you know, I mean, been fighting for so freaking long. Just like my last fight, me and Artem Lobov, I mean, we shared a room together, you know, and, it's just laid back. Nobody, you really don't have too much to worry about. You know, it's just fighting all hands, and that just comes really second nature to a lot of these people. It's not really, you know, high stress, high anxiety in the back. Everyone's just kind of hanging out. You know, you wrap your own hands. You don't gotta worry about getting gloves and this. And it's just such a laid back atmosphere there. You know, the whole time, the whole weekend, you're there. It's not even just fight day. You know, you don't have big, huge teams and entourages, and you know, it's just really chill. It's really chill compared to, you know, even our small pro-am shows that we have here in Michigan, you know, where it's kind of like edgy and, everybody kind of keeps to their own, and, you know, bare knuckle it now, it's completely different. You know, like the whole card will just be out there standing, watching the other dude fight before, and okay, I guess it's your turn, and so-and-so, you know, do a couple jumping jacks, walk out in the next fight, and it's just like, it's really, just really, really lax, you know, low energy in the back, man. And
are there
and
any different?
That really helps too.
So, is there any different rules as far as to how many people you're allowed to have in your corner, or like how long they're allowed to be?
It depends. It depends on what athletic commission you go to. You know, each commission. You know, you're usually allowed to have three licensed corners, and I mean, no, nobody else really needs to walk out with you.
Right.
You know, nobody else wants anybody else to walk out. You know, like, man, right. I don't need an entourage of fucking 20 fucking people to walk me out to a fight so I can take up everybody's time and kill their buzz while I fucking hug, you know, six babies, nine cousins, you know, my aunt, my uncle, and, you know, whoever fucking else wants to walk out with me. You know, they ain't like that. They want to get out there and they want to fucking fight. So they're just taking them and their coaches, and their people can be in the crowd and support them, you know. And I feel that way too, you know. So I'm just like, yeah, it's just how everybody wants it, man. You know, I guess if somebody wanted a bunch of people to walk out with and that, I mean, I don't see them.
I just didn't know with it being like bare knuckle.
I know Florida Athletic Commission ain't letting anybody go in that back room unless you have a license. You know, that's ABC shit and ISKA on top of it. So there's two sanctioning bodies in Florida, so. I mean, you got, I'm like, I can't even take a piss by myself. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of commission back there. So you can't just,
So you're going to be fighting against Delaney Owen unless your opponent has changed that we didn't know about yet. Tell us a little bit about, what you know about your opponent.
Well, Callie was supposed to fight Callie Cutler.
Yeah.
Michigan Toppy in there, and fucking Martina broke her foot. You know, in training, it fucking sucked, and she lost that fight, and it just wasn't enough time for her to get a replacement. I was kind of bummed about that, but yeah.
Callie Cutler's
I'm facing Delaney Owen. I was supposed to be matched there both in MMA and pro boxing. Shit didn't work out on both of them. I don't know if the matchmakers or whatever were, you know, lying to me or whatever, but they told me that she bailed, so I don't fucking know. I don't know. Sometimes people lie to fighters, just to lie to them. So I don't know if it was her or it was them or whatever. I don't fucking care. I'm just like, finally we get to fight, you know? So, she is, signed with Invicta. You know, it's a little bit shorter than I am. She's a good fighter. She's a good fighter. You know what I mean? Like, all her pro boxing, I think she don't even stop once. And all the rest of them went to decision, you know, so she is battle tested. You know, she fights for, you know, really large MMA organization as well. Invicta is, you know, as we all know, she's more of a grappler though. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, underestimate her or anything at all. I'm just, you know, curious why she would do bare knuckle. It could be, you know, she could have her own fucking reasons. Who knows?
So would you say that you like this? So would you say that you like this matchup better with it being in bare knuckle as opposed to MMA?
Oh, absolutely. Because if it was MMA, she was just, you know, I'd be fighting a fucking takedown for an entire round and, you know, getting laid on and subbed and shit because nobody likes to fight me in MMA, you know?
Devin?
They don't want to fight. They don't want to fight. They'd rather, you know, they want to rather grapple and shit, you know, because that's how you beat me. That's how you beat me. You can't beat me on the feet, you know, I mean, unless your name's Allie Beth Millerin. You know what I mean? But, yeah, no. Yeah, I'm really hard to get on the feet, man. You know, I can switch stances. I can throw power from both sides, and I'm a fucking southpaw, and I'm lengthy, you know, and I move pretty quick, and I'm really hard to time. So I don't think that the 2-minute rounds will give them enough time to make adjustments, you know, before, you know, I'm going to get my finish. So that's how I really see it going. I mean, if it doesn't go, then it doesn't go, you know. I'm not going to talk a bunch of shit or anything, but, you know, I'm coming in confident, and I'm feeling good about it. So especially because it's in my own weight class. I'm a little bit too small for 125 pounds. So, I come in underweight at 125 pounds. We'll put it that way. So it's refreshing being able to fight in my actual weight class. So I can actually fight people my size, which is great because the last chick was fucking huge. I don't like it. I still did that shit though. You know what I mean? But, yeah. Yeah, and that girl hit hard too, Ivana Coleman. Holy shit. Holy crap. She got me one good time, like with an overhand. I was like, holy shit. You know, with a bare knuckle in the face, like right on my eye orbital. I mean, I still got a little scar from it. It rocks it pretty good. It's not like getting hit with anything else.
Devin?
Well, my last question is, been looking through your social media, and one thing that I've noticed is that you're very, very, you have a great personality. You like to express yourself. And I saw a picture, it was like a boomerang video of you dressed up as Harley Quinn, getting hit in the head with a baseball bat. And we've seen you walk out. Yeah.
Aaron Kirchner with the bat.
And we've seen you at Rising with the, you know, the elaborate walkout. You have anything planned for this fight as far as, you know, expressing yourself, your walkout, your gear, anything like that?
Yeah, I sure do. I got my secret squirrel shirt that's already been printed. Something that's not going to piss off the FCC too bad, and ready to go. It's ready to go, and I'll be doing the same thing again with this shirt. So I'll be donating, putting it on eBay and donating it to the cause that I'll announce after the fight.
Nice, Kyle. You got any questions?
Yeah, my last question will be: so, what can people expect from you this weekend? What can they expect? What do you think the outcome is going to be at the end of your fight?
Knockout.
Man, it's gonna look like two honey badgers at a fucking rave. I can tell you that much because that chick looks really shit.
If you could see Randy, our producer's face when you said that.
Yeah, I mean that's what's gonna be like, man. This chick, she's a lot shorter than me, so you know, I was like, she's gonna try to go in for the body. I know she is. You know, she's only got this one overhand. I mean, that ain't no problem. Again, you know, with bare knuckle, I want to go in there. You know, of course, I want to get the knockout because I get a nice knockout bonus if I do that. That's more money. I got Christmas coming up. I got kids. Shit.
shout out to Heath Slater.
right. So, you know, I'm looking to get the finish. You know, if it goes five rounds, then I don't think it's gonna go five rounds because I don't want it to go five rounds, and it's my fight, so I'm not letting it go five rounds. So that's what we're doing. Either, you know, TKO or KO. You know what I mean? I ain't.
So we've got a prediction in the live feed. I don't know who he is, but you probably do. Bradford Bishop says knockout round three.
Round three. You know what? That's a pretty good, pretty good prediction, Brad. Brad is he's from Florida. And actually. one of my sponsors. He's and still nutrition. He also sponsors Abby Vasquez. I don't know how to say his last name. I don't know. I can't speak Spanish, but Abby's on that card. He's one of the main fighters on that card there at Team Assassin, right in Tampa. So yeah, and they know me pretty well. So. And they also know my opponent pretty well because she's in Tampa. So,
And also Bradford, we're looking for sponsors.
So I
also,
even got the locals rooting for me, bro. Like, fuck.
So, would you say from now on you see yourself staying in the bare knuckle realm? Do you see yourself going back to MMA? Like, you know, or is
yeah, I like the bare knuckle. I don't, you know, I mean, I'll do. I might do some kickboxing or you know, pro boxing, and you know, I just really feel you know if it's you know my fighting style and not only that but my body type and I'm an adrenaline junkie. I always have been, you know, even before I fought, I used to race motocross and shit. So once you experience a bare knuckle fight and you don't want to do anything else, you know, it's like way cool. You know, it's like going to Cedar Point and riding the biggest, baddest roller coaster there first. And then going and trying to ride everything else, and everything else is kind of meh, you know. Plus, you know, bare knuckle takes care of us really well, and you know they pay us really good. And it's like, why would I, you know, why we don't want to go anywhere else? And you'll see that similarity on many interviews. I mean, even you know Johnny Bedford. I mean, he's like, fuck, man, I want to stay here. You know what I mean? I mean, Johnny's a great wrestler, and he's this, and he fought UFC and all this, and he can still compete and still be successful on the MMA platform. But hell no, he wants to stay with bare knuckle, man. He loves that shit, and for the very same reasons I've listed, you know what I mean?
So, with you know, before I let you get out of here, you know, it's...
You're fine. I'm just sitting chilling in my freaking bedroom hiding from my kids and my dog. So, we're good.
So you mentioned that you had other promoters and things calling you. How does how does you being a matchmaker and things like that, does that help you? Does it hurt you? Like, how do you feel that affects your own personal, you know, fight game and stuff like that?
Well, when it comes to like getting close to fight week and stuff like this, like I can't take on other shit, you know, and I tell them that because I have to take time and I have to focus on my own self, you know, and people, you know, they should understand that. And, you know, I put it right out there. I used to make the mistake in the past and, you know, try to be superwoman because I had a fucking ego and I just wanted to try to do everything. You know what I mean? But, you know, I matchmake here at TWC. I do last minute fill-in spots for fucking Bellator. I've sent people to fucking Ryzen. I mean, Invicta, all of that crap, you know, and I have a lot of these promoters will, you know, hit me up last minute with stuff, you know, like, holy crap, I need this. And, you know, I'm for light heavyweight for Bellator right now for October 25th, you know, and I'm like, I can't, man. I'm sorry. I'm going to pass over the bill to someone else. Y'all got to give me at least a week and a half off. You know what I mean? And it's just all about balance, man. And just knowing when to say, I'm sorry, I can't help you.
So that this will piggyback right off of that too. So you talked about having to find the balance during fight week and all that. On top of being a fighter, on top of being a mom, on top of being, you know, a matchmaker, all that kind of stuff, you know, you're also a cut woman for all the, you know, for a lot of the big promotions. I know you've done Glory and I know you've done Glory and let everybody know like some of the places you've worked and you were taught by Stitch, which anybody that's watched anybody that's watched MMA has seen him.
You gotta know who fucking Stitch is. Everybody knows who Stitch is. You know, I wasn't exclusively trained just at Stitch. I shattered him a lot. I took some of his courses. Back when I had cancer, 2011, you know, right around that time, I didn't think I was going to be able to fight anymore because doctors told me I wouldn't be able to because I got low blood cell count and some nerve damage and shit. Also the reason I can't fucking grapple well. Some muscles in some places don't work well. But I wanted to learn other stuff. I wanted to learn other stuff because I still wanted to be a part of, you know, the sport that I love so much, even if I couldn't compete. So I noticed there was a need for a cut man in Michigan. I'm like, you know, we don't even have one here. We don't even have one here. You know, I see people getting blowed open all the fucking time. And, you know, I always admired that, you know, taking care of the fighter. I want to learn how to wrap hands, you know, really good. I want to learn how to stop bleeding and this and that. And so, you know, took courses and I would go to Invicta. I would go to, you know, Invicta shows and, you know, I'd sit next to Stitch, like, can I shadow you? And he'd be, sure, sure. And that man, I mean, he would just like, you would swear. It was just amazing. He's like, this is how I do this, and this is how you do this, and here, watch what I do right here. Boom, boom. Show me how to mix the stuff, roll his Q-tips, this swelling here, you know, and I just picked, you know, the brains of, you know, these guys and let them teach me. You know, I shut up, I ask questions, and years and years later, you know, I kept doing it. I never really put it out there, you know, because I'm not the type to be like, oh, look at me, look who's teaching me shit. I just, you know, did it, and that's how I got my job. That's how I got the cutman job at Bare Knuckle. Was Stitch was working there, and something happened with the other cutman, and Stitch see me there with Tony Lopez, and he snatched my ass right up and went, and the whole fucking board of commissioners and everything right there. And he's like, this is Sheena Starr. She's from the MMA world. I know she knows her shit. I've seen her work. You know, she put her in. If not this one, do the next one. And boom, then I was in there in Cancun, and then I worked at number 7 too, you know, and you know, I definitely showed my worth on that fight event, especially with the Christine and Helen Patella event. You know, I mean that fight, because she had a cut that was really close to her eye, and the blood was going in it, and the doctor was getting a little worried about you know, they don't like blood going in the eye, so I quit treating the swelling under her one eye and let her eye poof up so the blood would run off the side of her face so she could stay in her fight. And she ended up winning by decision. And that's exactly what a cut man does, you know. It's exactly doing that job. But, you know, if it wasn't for picking these guys' brains and stuff and, you know, actually learning and actually knowing to do that to keep the fighter in the fight, then, you know, that fight could have went a lot differently, you know what I mean? So it's cool, man. It's cool. You know, Stitch and, you know, any other time. Bellator, you know, the Bellator cutman. Fuck, man. Dean Lannister and Brian Bill. Bill Zerhart. Can't say his last name right. Sid Gee. Yeah, Craig. I mean, all those guys are great. You know, when I used to go fight out amateur in Kansas City, like, I don't know, every 3 months for 2 years straight, they would always be the cutman out there. It was always the Bellator guys. So I would always, I mean, kick in their brains and I retain information. I never forget anything. So I was able to just be like a little sponge with all these guys. That's, you know, the best cutmen in the world, in my opinion. And it's really helped, you know, me develop and, you know, get these jobs, you know, like Glory FC and, you know, Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships. And when Alliance MMA was around, I was doing all their events. I still do Hoosier Fight Club. Here in Michigan, I don't charge these guys here, like, really anything at all. I'm just here to help, you know, help out our people, because I always like to help our people out, you know.
So as we go into the fight this weekend, you know, this is going to be your second time around. You've got more experience going into it. We've heard your thoughts on your opponent. You got any last words for your opponent, and you got any sponsors or anything like that you need to shout out and let everybody know where they can see it? We mentioned Fight TV. I don't know what other mediums it's on, but just let everybody know what's up with it.
Yeah, well, it's on pay-per-view. So whether you have, you know, if you have either satellite TV or if you have cable TV, if you go on your channel guide and you go to the pay-per-view section, you'll find that Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship in the pay-per-view section of your cable TV or satellite provider as well. And of course, also on the Fight TV app, you can watch it on basically any smart device, whether you have a tablet, cell phone, computer, any of that. So that's how you're able to watch the fight this weekend. As far as, you know, any last words or anything to my opponent, I'm just humbled and grateful. You know, thank you for taking the fight. It's a big leap. I think she's got lady balls. There's not like a line of women chomping at the bit to want to jump in and, you know, fight on this platform. It really takes somebody with that warrior fighter spirit. So I really admire that from her, and nothing but, you know, respect and everything. And, you know, looking forward to seeing her this weekend. I always bring like a little gift bag, you know, with something for my opponent, you know, from my home state. I always thought that was, you know, something just cool, you know. Life's too short to be an asshole. I mean, we're all not a Conor McGregor here, so you know, looking forward to it. Be healthy. I hope you're not injured, you know. I don't think she'd be cutting too much weight. Just stay healthy. I want the best Delaney that, you know, that Delaney can be, and I hope everything's going well for her. As far as sponsors, I mean, I got a couple of them. And with these guys, it really just made this fight camp and this whole process leading up to this fight just so much better. You know, first and foremost, B2 Digital, B2 Media, they have been absolutely fabulous. They have helped me out with my training, buying any sort of, you know, special food that I need for my weight cut, gas cards, some of my medicals, like my eye exam and everything else, and time away from home. You know, I've had to take some time off of work and stuff and away from my kids. And B2 Media is just, they've helped me out the best that I've, you know, been able to remember, really, you know, financially and everything. So, huge shout out to them. You know, Kevin Smith and, you know, everybody with, B2 Fight Series and all the promoters that are a part of that, type of, syndicate there, throughout the Midwest, and Still Nutrition, Brad Bifford. He helped me out with my medicals as well. And there's a lot of medicals involved. And not only, you know, did he, you know, help with, you know, my routine labs, he sent me this natural supplement type of stuff. It's called Joint Jitsu. It's actually a pretty fitting name, but it's for like inflammation and swelling of like your joints and everything. And man, when I'm putting in road work and, you know, my knees are hurting and blowing up, I mean, instead of popping ibuprofen and crap, I mean, I just take a couple of those, you know, right before I go to, you know, do my deal, and I feel shit ton better. Rehydration, like when I get down there, I know I got like potassium drops and shit that, you know, he's gonna have for me to really help me rehydrate after my weight cut. So huge shout out to Amstel Nutrition. Combat Insiders, they are our official bare knuckle media source. They are also home to what's called Knucklepedia, which is kind of like Tapology, but it's just for bare knuckle fighters. So it has our record reporting and our stats and kind of like our one side tail of the tape, you know, our background and bio and all that. Mm-hmm. So, they keep everybody updated on all the media and all the happenings that, you know, not only Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship, but Valor and BKB overseas and everything else. So if you get a chance to check them out online, Bearding for Autism Awareness, they're
that's awesome.
They're a nonprofit charity group out of the East Coast, actually, for autism schools, like a school. It's a school for center for youth with that also have autism. So I think that's pretty awesome of those guys. I wanted to put them on there and shout out. And Winston's Wishes, they are a animal type sanctuary and rescue and animal advocate charity as well. 501(c)(3). They really help, you know, the doggos and stuff, man. You know, like I'm a big dog lover. So, you know, anybody who's out there helping our fur babies, like, you know, I'm all for you. And I think you're awesome.
Well, let everybody know where they can find your social media and all that stuff so they can follow all the shit that you post on social media.
Yeah, I know. I'd really put out my sponsor. You know, I had to put it out there, man. They're not just sponsors. They're not just people that give me money and I slap a logo. I'm like, I know these people and I have friendships with them. You know what I mean? So It's really personable, and
I hear you.
I enjoy it. You can find me on Instagram. I'm not on there too much because I can only keep up so much social media stuff. But you can find me on Instagram at Puma Star, and Facebook. My personal page is Sheena Star. I leave everything public so people can lurk. And Sheena Puma Star is the fan page where it's primarily just for fight update stuff. But, you know, if you want memes and funny animal videos and all that shit, you know, you got to follow the Sheena Star account because that's the best one.
Well, check that shit out this Saturday, Bare Knuckle FC 8. And, you know, you're talking about Combat Insiders. Make sure you tell them when you go down there that you enjoyed your time on Knockouts and Three Counts, because we would be more than happy to help them promote their shit as well. So
hey, for sure.
Hey, man, like I said, if I don't put it out there, I mean, you know what they say about putting shit out into the universe. But either way.
Yeah, well, you got to put it out there. I don't know if you don't say nothing.
Exactly.
I'm sure that one of them are probably listening right now.
Hey, man.
I'm probably like, okay.
Like I said, man, send them our way. But like I said, you know, we're wishing you all the best. Thank you for coming on the show again. And we're definitely going to bring you back on again soon. And when the next time I see you at a fight, I'll buy you a beer after you get a W.
Yes, I'll do that. I will enjoy that. I'll enjoy that.
Thanks a lot.
It'll be awesome. I appreciate you guys. Thank you. Y'all have a good night.
You as well.
All right, you too.
I will. I'm going to go pee now. So I can fight week. I almost brought you to the toilet with me, but I think y'all wanted that. But we was close. We was close, y'all. All right, y'all have a good night.
You as well.
All right, bye.
Later. Bye. Well, Devin, was it what you expected?
Minus the pee part.
I love her, man. She definitely top five guest of all time. Top five.
Wow. That's high praise at this point. So with the time we got left, we've got about 15 minutes left. I figured it'd give us a little bit of time to jump into the things that are going on with wrestling. Okay, we've had about 2 weeks now of AEW as far as AEW Dynamite versus NXT. First of all, I guess let's start with them because they're the new kid on the block, and we're going to be there. Ring the bell for StarCast 4 in full gear and all that shit. We'll be there bringing you some fire ass interviews. So, now that we've had a couple weeks for things to kind of play out a little bit, Kyle, you've been a little bit quiet. What are your thoughts on AEW so far?
I like everything I've seen so far. I don't want them to get too much into the fact of kind of comparing themselves to WCW. I know heard Cody wants to try to get some of the old trademarks for some of the WCW shows back, some of the ones that Dusty came up with. So I don't want them to get too laxed into relying on the fact that, yes, they are similar. They have a lot of similarities to WCW, but they need to really embrace the difference between them and the biggest contemporary in WWE. It's a completely different feel. Matches feel different. The commentary feels different. I still say they still have a little bit to go on the production value side. They still are learning on that one. It's better than when they started, but I've enjoyed everything I've seen. It does feel refreshing watching them because I can kind of watch a Seth Rollins match and pretty much guess what the biggest spots are going to be. When I'm watching a match with Darby, when I'm watching a match with Cody, when I'm watching something with the Young Bucks, I do know of them. I have seen them before, but I don't know what they're going to pull out on weekly TV. So I've enjoyed everything I've seen so far.
Devin, what about you?
I think for the most part, I've expressed most of my thoughts on 1205 Live.
Watch that, bitch.
Watch that on this same channel.
Taco Meat Special.
105 y'all time. But I kind of agree with most of the things that Kyle just said. You know, they're getting better with their production. I actually watched AEW Dark right now for the second time. I thought that, to me, was a great idea.
The new episode? The new episode or the first one?
Yeah. The new episode.
Well, damn, guy. Shit, you must have really loved it. Twice in a day? Shit.
All I'm going to say is, I do this thing on 1205 Live where I give a match that I think everybody should watch. Sneak preview, Joey Janela versus Kenny Omega is going to be my recommendation for tomorrow.
That shit sounds like fire. I'll go real quick as far as AEW. I definitely think the AEW dark thing is a very smart move. Because it's different. I mean, we've never seen WWE do that with any of their dark matches. I mean, except for, like, if you want to count, like, the shows that were quote-unquote, you know, house shows that they put on the network. I mean, you don't really see the dark matches like that. And the fact that they're doing it in, like, an hour show.
That's not necessarily true. Because, you know, that's basically what Superstars and Main Event was.
Like, yeah, but... Yeah, but they used to position those as shows.
But nobody watched those because nobody wanted to see those guys.
Well, now you can say that, but you can say that now. But like, I mean, when they first came out, they were positioned as shows. I mean, AEW said right from jump, these are the matches you don't get to see. So, I mean, I feel like that's a little bit different. As far as the overall feel, I totally agree with you guys that I think production wise, they got some things that still need to be worked out. But I think the thing that they got going for them right now is just the fact they're fucking hot right now. Like, I mean, they've got you actually wanting to watch it. You want to see what's going to happen. Plus, from what I'm hearing, they've got more big names to come. I mean, so far from what I've seen, I've liked it. I just my biggest critique would be that I hope that in the coming weeks we see more development to the stories. You know, they explained what the Inner Circle is. Good thing. You know, they're really harping on the fact that Kenny's kind of been on a little bit of a losing streak. Again, I like that there's some story build there and things like that. So I'm really interested to see what happens. I can't wait to get to Baltimore.
Don't get shot.
You're about the 50th person that said that since we fucking announced it.
Just saying, watch your back.
And don't buy crack. Don't buy crack. It's right there for you. Don't do it. Say no.
So, with the time that we
in abundance.
So, with the time that we've got left, we've got about nine. Okay, according to Randy, we got five minutes left. So, WWE, man, holy shit! If you follow our Twitter, and now Sheena's watching us as well. If you follow our Twitter,
hi, Sheena.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. If you watch our Twitter, man, like as soon as I started to watch the first round of the draft on SmackDown, like all I could see was like when you look, you know, when you look at what's trending and stuff, how in the fuck can a company like WWE manage to? It's one thing to say who is up for the draft. OK, I got that part. That made sense. But how do you not notice until the third round that you're literally going right down the fucking list?
That's just
they put the whole list out there. What the fuck?
Right, but not only did you put it out, it's one thing to put who's eligible.
You put the exact draft order. I've never seen that. I've never even on my best day watching an NFL or NBA draft guessed every single pick in a row. And well, they just put it out
there. And then it was almost like you could tell they realized they fucked up because then they like then you started noticing, well, this guy would
go
here.
No, he's not going to be fourth. He's going to be seventh. Well, fuck, we still know what it is.
You know, like...
I just love how the fact they fucked up the Fiend already. Like you completely ruined that one.
I don't think they ruined the Fiend, but I think that match...
You had... No, I'm talking about you literally let Seth walk into the Firefly Funhouse and burn it down. Like, that's... I'm honestly amazed. It is beautiful to see how fast they ruined that.
Kyle, have you been watching professional wrestling from the WWE in the past, I don't know, 12 years?
Unfortunately, yeah.
I said it. I remember we were on Breaking Down the Ring, and I kept saying, like, don't ruin this. Like, just let it play out. Slow play it. Don't rush it. Take your time. And what did they do? They rushed it. They didn't take their time, and I do feel like they're taking the steam away from the Fiend.
It was a good summer. It was a good summer with Bray. It was good while it lasted.
I mean, I loved what we saw leading up to Hell in a Cell, but I mean, at this point, in my opinion, they've got no choice now but they're gonna have to do something drastic to try to pull this shit out of the hole at this point because okay, so now you've got him versus Seth in Saudi Arabia.
Boo.
Here's the other thing.
That's official?
Yeah. Falls count. I mean,
and you know what's gonna be funny? I would love for this to be first falls count anywhere match that ends in a double DQ.
I could be wrong, but I saw the graphic. I don't know if it's been announced yet or anything.
You know they would do that shit.
But
you know they would do that
shit. I mean, here's the thing with that for me is, like, I think personally the fact that Seth went to Raw, which you knew he was going to because he's the Universal Champion, and like, the belt's fucking red.
I'm like, what are they? That was fine. I'm like, why? With the exception of the U.S. and Intercontinental, I didn't think Bayley was gonna go over to Raw.
Look, dude. First of all, that was my only thing that I liked from night number one of the draft. I think it's great that Bayley went full blown heel. I like the fact that they cut the Bayley buddies, and I like the fact that they were at least smart enough to change her hair so she doesn't got the ponytail. That part I think you did really well with, good. Except for the fact that you've got generic number five as her music right now.
Yeah.
But hopefully they can change that. As far as the rest of it,
Wait, stop there for one second. I want to bring this up because I talked about this earlier today. I want to get your guys' thoughts. Have you seen the women that were drafted to SmackDown?
Vaguely.
There's only five women that's been drafted to SmackDown. Bayley, Sasha, Lacey Evans, Carmella, and Tamina.
Oh, no, they just announced Bliss and Cross are now on there, too.
I thought they were Raw.
No, got traded.
They got traded for future Raw draft picks.
And you got to remember, they said that anybody that doesn't get drafted is going to be free agent, so a bunch of people are going to get fucking dropped over there.
Ooh, Tamina.
Well, true. I knew that there's going to be more moves to come, but for you to basically start off with your women, that's basically the foundation of your women's roster on SmackDown, I felt like they dropped the ball on that. Because you basically have all heels and Carmella.
Yeah.
And now you have to, you know, play catch up to balance things out. Well, if you look at Raw roster, they basically had every woman on that roster that had won a championship in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
so hopefully they balance the thing out with trades and in the free agency. But I just thought they got off to a bad start as far as their SmackDown women's roster.
And one thing that's gotten me since the creation of the women's tag team division, I understand you kind of dropped the ball on that one, but I'm like, you don't just have to have them as a tag team. You can have a singles star in there, too. You could give Alexa Bliss a singles feud and have her be in a tag feud to really make sure you don't just have just three tag teams.
Here's a perfect one. Okay, so you put Bayley and Sasha back together as a heel team. They were the ones who won the motherfucker. Why are they not? Mm-hmm. Why? You're still touting them as like they're a group or a team or whatever.
And still mentioning that they were the first ones, right. And then they don't.
Okay, so my thing is, don't get me wrong. I'm cool with Bayley being champ. I'm cool with Sasha going for the title. But why the if you're going to keep bringing them up in the tag team, you know, scene and picture. And here's the thing. Okay, so you change the title. The Kabuki Warriors still got the titles, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. I don't have a problem with them even having the titles because at least they're doing something with them. But again, it's the argument that I have with so many things. And this is why I've said that I'm such a fan of NXT, because they actually build the stories. I have no problem with what they did at Hell in a Cell with them getting the titles. My problem is this. How are you going to introduce something that was so critical to Asuka's character in Japan in her spitting out mist, which is not the first time she's done it. Mm-hmm. People here just don't know that. How the fuck do you add that? And there's no, like, so she did it at the pay-per-view. There's no mention of the shit. There's no why the fuck she did it. No,
she just did it.
Nothing. Even if you just had her do a thing and she pulls the whole no English card, I'm cool with that. But, like, fuck it. I spit in your face. Spit mist in your face. Fuck it. We're just going to forget about it tomorrow.
Yeah, she's Tajiri's daughter. It's a family thing. Don't worry
about
it.
That's the thing. Everybody keeps saying Tajiri. That's the other thing. Especially in reality era news, which if you're not a part of, you should be. The Great Muta is who I think of when I see mist. I'm sorry, Tajiri's dope, but I think of the Great Muta. But that's just me.
And Kabuki, yeah, Kabuki-ish too.
Yeah, but I feel like it's more synonymous with Great Muta, though.
Not true. But wait, real quick before we get out of here, like I was talking about with the women's SmackDown thing. Okay, so Sasha and Bayley are together, right?
Right.
Ooh, so are they going to be going up against each other for the women's championship, or are they going to be a tag team?
Well,
because you basically have nobody to go up against.
But isn't Sasha on Raw though?
No, she's on SmackDown.
No, she's on SmackDown.
Oh, she did go to SmackDown.
That's the only thing I'm like, okay, finally we get her on SmackDown.
That's just going to be, that's just how
they're going to go up against Bayley now.
They're either going to turn her face again or that'll be how they eventually,
because they obviously don't know how to get the four horsewomen away from each other. Yes, they are the four best women you have in there, but you don't always have to have them.
But I don't got a problem. So I don't got a problem with her and Sasha still being together because they've been synonymous with each other.
I turned off Raw last night. When I saw Charlotte come out, I'm like, I don't need to see this match again. I don't need to see Becky versus Charlotte.
I mean,
Charlotte
it was kind of good, but at the same time, I hear you.
It's formulaic. I like the I saw the roll up, which I think was cool, but I'm like, that's not entertaining to me right now. You have so many other people on your roster. I'm not saying you could pull out Bianca Belair out of nowhere and put her versus Becky. Okay, but it's the same match we've seen.
Hey, where's Naomi?
Where is Naomi? I've been saying that shit for a while.
Don't even get me started on that
shit. I say that shit in the group. I'm like, where is Naomi? The two things I say is, where is Naomi and poor Rusev?
So, guys, we're about out of time. Everybody throw out your social medias real quick before we get out of here.
Dev.
You can find me on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinT63. You can find me on Instagram at AllSnakeNoSizzle. And make sure you watch 1205 Live. Well, really 105 y'all time, but 1205 Live every Monday through Friday.
Hey, we got people in Hawaii listening too, motherfuckers, so you don't know if it's 105 their time.
Well, 1205 Central Time, 105 Detroit time, and boo. I don't know what the fuck it is in Hawaii.
Kyle, throw out your social media.
You can find me at Team Chaos. That's KAYOS on Instagram and Twitter. Kyle J. Campbell on Facebook. And you can find my other show, Wakanda Podcast Is This. WAKINDA Podcast Is This. Everywhere you listen to a podcast.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit NOKOUT. Make sure you're following the show at KO3C Pod, Knockouts and Three Counts on YouTube, KO3CPod.com. And as Devin said, check out 1205 Live, but also after the fights, it could be after AEW Dynamite. Hell, I might do one for Bare Knuckle FC this weekend. Make sure you check out Knockouts and Three Counts after the bell as well.
1205 Central is 1705 UTC.
So, what, 6:05?
5.
Yeah, that's 5 o'clock. Yeah, Devin, so you lied. See, my point proven. Anyways, watch all them motherfuckers. And I saw you guys watch the one for the Joanna Jędrzejczyk fight. I know I just butchered her name.
Gesundheit.
But, yeah, man, I saw
You said that pretty well.
Yeah, right. I know a whole bunch of you guys watched it. Keep watching, man. We're going to be bringing you out more content. And also, thank you to everybody who checked out our project from BCWA. We're going to be doing another one here October 26th. For their next show, we'll be bringing somebody from BCWA on again next week. So check us out there. And until then, peace.
Our intro music is More, More, More by Punch Deck.
I don't know what to say to that.
They want more, more, more knockouts and three counts.